Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of March 26th. This week we feature an interview with Associate Editor Kevin Clark on the one-year anniversary of the murder of Pakistani Minister Shahbaz Bhatti. First, we feature an interview that Kevin conducted with Virginia Ferris of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, who knew Minister Bhatti. This interview was conducted the month that he died. We follow that interview with a discussion with Kevin Clark about the legacy of Minister Bhatti, who was a Christian fighting against the blasphemy laws in Pakistan that persecuted the Christian community. Many considered him to be a martyr for that cause and are promoting his cause for sainthood.
Before we talk about Minister Bhatti, Virginia, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about perhaps the reason he was assassinated, the blasphemy laws in Pakistan, and what he was trying to do about those laws. I mean, what are the blasphemy laws? Why are they so controversial?
Well, the blasphemy laws date back to the 1980s. They, in essence, make it an insult. Any insult to the Quran is an offense punishable by life imprisonment or possibly even the death penalty. The concern is that the way that these laws have been applied, that there's very little burden of proof required. And so that sometimes or often the laws have been abused for personal gain or to harass even minority Muslims. It's not just Christians. Hindus, etc., have also fallen afoul of the blasphemy laws. So there have been something like close to 1,400 people who have been accused under these blasphemy laws.
How many of those people would be in jail or have been punished because of these laws?
Well, the problem is that in many instances, just being accused of the law results in sort of a mob mentality, which has then resulted in extrajudicial killings. There's a very famous case last July where there are two young men who had been acquitted of blasphemy. However, they were killed on the steps of the court as they were exiting. So,
and even the accusations seem to be enough to provoke, as you mentioned, communal violence against Christians and other minorities in Pakistan.
In many instances, that has been the case.
Minister Bhatti was the second well-known politician in Pakistan to be assassinated because of the blasphemy laws. What's happening in Pakistan? Should we be concerned about this?
Well, obviously the other individual who was killed was a Muslim. He was the governor of the province of Punjab, so a very high-profile individual who was assassinated by one of his own bodyguards, reportedly because that bodyguard felt the governor was critical of the blasphemy laws. So there is an overall concern that at this uptick in violence, in religious intolerance that Minister Bhatti had tried so hard in his life to overcome through various works of promoting interfaith dialogue and interfaith harmony and trying to advance religious tolerance within the broader Pakistani society.
What precisely did Minister Bhatti hope to achieve regarding, we talk about amending the blasphemy law. No one was talking about repealing them. What was Minister Bhatti's goal regarding the law?
Well, I believe that most recently, I should say, in the year 2010, they were hoping to require that judges investigate charges of blasphemy before such cases are actually registered. And in this way, this would create some oversight, some judicial oversight over such cases before they get into the hands of police, because sometimes police have been accused of abuse.
Now, did you work with Minister Bhatti in the past? What were your impressions of him? What kind of person was he?
Minister Bhatti came to Washington. He was here most recently in February of this year for the National Prayer Breakfast. I had an opportunity to meet with him at that particular time. Prior to that, he also came to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops in September 2009 and had a chance to brief a number of the people hear about conditions in Pakistan. So he struck me as a man who was very principled, who was trying his darndest under very difficult circumstances to offer hope to minorities, to try to stand with them and give them the opportunity to have their voice heard within the larger society. He was a very courageous man. Obviously, because he went back, actually when he was here in February, so a month or so before he was assassinated, I was in a meeting and one of the individuals said to him, you know, maybe it's not a good idea for you to go back because there's this death sentence hanging over your head. Why don't you just stay here? We'll try and make some provisions for you. And he said, no, I have to go back. I have to serve my people. And obviously, his voice has been silenced.
So it was pretty clear to him that his life was... Was it clear to him his life was perhaps likely to be forfeited on behalf of his community?
He was certainly aware of the threat, but prepared to soldier on regardless of the threat against him.
Does this assassination indicate a breakdown of security inside Pakistan? I mean, this was a killing in a residential district within the capital of Islamabad.
Well, there are always concerns about security in many parts of the world, not just in Pakistan. But I think that from the perspective of both the Bishops' Conference here and the Pakistan Catholic Bishops' Conference, there is a concern that if the perpetrators of this violence, both the violence, the killing of Mr. Bhatti, as well as the killing of the Punjab governor, if they are not brought to justice, and that fosters a culture of impunity in which people feel that they can go ahead and continue to do this and not bear any circumstances. So our call has been that there be more efforts by the government of Pakistan and to take concrete steps to protect the human rights and religious freedom of all its citizens, including Christians and vulnerable minorities. I should add that USCCB very seldom engages with foreign governments directly, but works with the U.S. government. And so we have sent a letter to Secretary Clinton asking that the United States work in partnership with the government of Pakistan to improve security for all citizens.
Do you think this incident calls into question the ongoing policy of support to the government in Pakistan?
I mean, I think the government Pakistan has indicated that they want to do some things along this line of revising laws against blasphemy. It's the political climate within Pakistan is very difficult, and the Pakistan Catholic Bishops' Conference recognizes that it's a difficult issue. Nonetheless, they think that this needs to be pursued. That protection of innocence is so important, and that unfortunately the blasphemy law is often misused and creates victims without any requirement to establish proof of blasphemy. So that, you know, Shahbaz Bhatti was working to try and review, revisit, amend the blasphemy laws so that it wouldn't be used as a tool in the hands of extremists. And that's certainly something that we would like to see as well.
Kevin, we just listened to an interview you conducted last March with Virginia Ferris, a foreign policy advisor for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. She did about the death of Minister Shahbaz Bhatti. Maybe you can tell us how he died.
Well, on March 2nd, last year, 2011, Bhatti was pulled from his car by three men and essentially just shot on the street. I believe something like 30 rounds were fired. He was not far from his parents' home on his way to work and was traveling, unfortunately, without any bodyguards, though many had asked that the government appoint some kind of team to protect him. He was unprotected and was murdered in broad daylight.
And since then, what has happened among, you know, Christians in Pakistan? Have they taken him on as a real symbol of their plight?
Well, yeah, I think throughout the world, people in Pakistani communities, in the United States, in Europe, and particularly in England, remember March 2nd. Remember this week, Bhatti as a martyr for the faith. He clearly understood what he was up against. He knew his life was in danger. And yet he persevered. He had many opportunities to either stay in Europe or in the United States to seek asylum. He had he took on the job as a minorities minister and went up against the blasphemy code in Pakistan, knowing how incendiary that whole issue was, and was threatened with death many, many times. So he knew that he was, as he said himself, he was taking up the cross, and he knew where it was going to end. And it and on March 2nd, it did end that way.
And some people have called him a martyr, so that word has been used.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People have already, the Pakistani bishops have already sought his canonization in Rome. They really feel like when you make that sort of commitment and you go in with the full knowledge of what you're likely to be asked to sacrifice, as Bhatti did, then it's very fair to describe you as a martyr for the faith.
Now, have his killers been found, or has there been kind of prosecution brought?
Well, I believe a Pakistani militant group, Islamic group, has accepted responsibility for the assassination, in fact, proudly so, but no one has ever been arrested. The Pakistani authorities initially tried to describe or explain the situation away as a family battle, which was patently absurd. And unfortunately, there was a huge sentiment for his killers in Pakistan among Pakistani Muslims, because they see his killing as a retribution for his acts to protect Christian minorities and to end the blasphemy laws that have been used in Pakistan to oppress minority groups, but also Muslims that get in the way of local authorities. There are often also spurious charges of blasphemy are used to silence dissent.
What is the state of the blasphemy laws in Pakistan? You spoke about it with the bishop's representative. Have there been any reforms at this point?
Unfortunately, no. There's really not been any progress. In fact, Bhatti's murder, his assassination, and then following soon after the assassination of a Pakistani provincial governor, Salman Taseer, or Taseer, I'm not sure I'm saying that properly, really put an end to any kind of vibrant effort to reform those blasphemy laws. So violence won out there, unfortunately. Although it did, their deaths did raise this issue on an international level that really had been lacking before.
Now, you mentioned that in Pakistan there have been some bishops pushing for his cause. 1 year later, have there been other events in other parts of the world kind of marking the anniversary of his death?
Yeah, he was remembered with there were memorial services for Bhatti in Rome, in England, throughout Pakistan, and I would imagine in Pakistani communities here in the United States as well. Unfortunately, there's not a lot to say in terms of progress on reforming the laws that are often used to further oppress Christian minorities in Pakistan. In fact, the woman, one of the people that Bhatti was stepping into the crosshairs to defend, Asia Bibi, a mother of five who has been charged under the blasphemy laws, she was one of the people that Shahbaz Bhatti was desperately trying to save. She has a death sentence for blasphemy, remains in prison in Pakistan a year later. And she hasn't been executed as they threatened to, but her case has made no further progress, unfortunately.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for your update on this situation, and we'll be following it along with you.
All right, Tim. Thanks for having me.